Alrighty. So let us begin. I have Don in. I just need to find out from Don what he'll need, but I'll call for you first, Don. Alright, so the purpose of the TechNet is to talk about amateur radio, electronics, telecommunications, computers, and pretty much anything in our society that depends on those things, which is your presence is a contribution, and it really does add to the net if we know who the audience is. So please do consider joining us, even if you're not thinking to ask a question or provide a comment. Alrighty, so moving this along, first things first, I should have done this earlier. Is there any emergency or priority traffic? Okey-doke. Well, first, W2JEK.
W2JK, yeah, Gordon, your signal cut out. I don't know whether you're walking around with a handy talkie or your battery, you changed or something, but you were talking and all of a sudden you just went down the mud and then right at the end you came back again, so a lot of what you said was lost, but just thought you should know that. No, I don't have any questions for the net or anything right now. You did have a good test session. I'll expound about that later, maybe, if you like. Back to net, W2JEK.
Okay, Don, very good. I'm mitigating that problem right now. I'm just going to fire up the mobile rig. Just stand by one. Okay, we're back. So, let me give the preamble. First, are there any emergency or priority calls to be at any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Nothing heard. The purpose of the TechNet is it's run by the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, and any station who is licensed to transmit in the 2-meter band is welcome to participate. And so we hope you will check in whether or not you're a Barra member. We also have a particular style here that's a little different than a lot of other nets. We would like you to check in whether or not you have a question or a comment. The topics for this net are anything that's of interest to you that's related to amateur radio, telecommunications, computing, electronics, or things in our society that are driven by those things. So you can pretty much bring up anything you want as long as it's informative and provocative and in good taste. So, having said that, let us begin. Our first station who's checked in tonight is W2JEK, who has some comments to make later on about the last test session and probably some upcoming test sessions as well. So I have you down for a comment, Mr. Don. Are there any other whiskey stations wishing to check in? Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether or not you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
WV2R Charlie. I have a question if nobody else does.
Charlie, you can have a question if everybody else does. So I'm noting that. We'll get to you in a little bit. And good evening to you. Any other whiskey stations? Okie dokie. Any other November stations? Boy, it's going to be tough. I can see this now. Alrighty, how about our ever popular Kilo stations?
KF2ID, I have a comment.
Okay, KF2ID, Ben, with a comment, the station that doubles with him, please.
KC2PYB, Richard, no questions or comments.
Good evening, Richard, very good. Any other Kilos?
K2 Yankee 2, Oscar Romeo X-ray, headed home mobile, none of the above. Good evening, Gordon.
Hey, Robert, good evening to you as well. Any other kilos?
K2, Zulu, Oscar.
Jim, any questions or comments?
No questions, do have some comments.
Always enjoy your pearls of wisdom, it's so noted. Any other kilos?
K2FBL. I do have a question. And good evening, Gordon, and everybody else.
Evening, Michael. All right, any other kilos?
This is K2AMI Tony. At this point, I have no questions, no comments, but I'm listening.
Tony, at some point, I would like a status on your nephew, if you don't mind. So I'm putting you down for a comment. So just when I come around to you, that's what I'll be looking for. While we're at it, any other kilos? Okay, any alpha stations? Okay, I'm going to repeat just for simplicity. Any other whiskey stations? And any other November stations?
This is NS2K. No question at this point.
Good evening, Jim. Very nice. Anybody else? Anybody else? Any call signs? Anything on EchoLink for that matter? Alrighty. Well, there we go. So, if Bennett was still in Florida, he could check into this net via EchoLink. Wouldn't that be cool? But he's back home, safe and sound in New Jersey. Alrighty. So, let's go to a couple of the quick questions here. First question is WE2R. Charlie, it's yours.
Okay, thanks, Gordon, and hello to everybody. Last night, Don was on, too. We were on the 6-meter net that we checked into, and for some reason, signals were coming in stronger than usual. Now, this is 6-meter sideband, all basically local stuff. I was copying a guy in Brooklyn who I normally copy down in the mud by Nova S4-5. So I wondered, what natural phenomenon is involved that might enhance signal? And other people noticed it too. And the ionosphere is not involved. So why was that night different from all other nights? What could be going on in the world of propagation that would enhance this local kind of 6-meter communication? I hope that question makes sense. Back to net, this is WE2R.
You know, in all honesty, I'm not certain. I mean, the atmosphere was very clear last night. That's the first thing that comes to mind. And, you know, it's entirely ground wave. There's no foliage on the trees at this point, worth a darn anyway. So I guess that's a starting point. So maybe, just maybe, that's what was afoot. Anybody want to have a comment on the subject? 50 megahertz propagation as of last evening. The question. Well, Don, what do you think, since you were involved in this fiasco? What did you observe?
This is W2JEK. Well, it seemed to work for just about everybody that was on the net. The barometer of it all is a fellow down in Staten Island, NY2SI, Moshe, and I was copying him when he was running his amplifier. He went down to 5 watts with a barefoot rig. I was having trouble with him. Now, he can't copy me. Never could, because I'm running 8 watts to a dipole up here on 6. And down in Staten Island, he's in apparently a noisy area where he doesn't copy me. But, I mean, I have a copy on him, so, especially when he's running his amplifier. But, he doesn't hear me at all with my 8 watts, and yet I can pick out most of what he's saying at 5 watts, but it's hard to copy, if you know what I mean. But I didn't notice any difference in that. And, one fell over our slope. He was coming in good. Yes, it was good. Now, I don't know, maybe the, just what the answer to that is. Was there less noise around for some reason, or was that would mask the signal? That could be a possibility, too. But I don't really know the answer to it. Back to that W2JK.
Okay, anybody else have a comment on the subject? Well, I'm thinking clear and dry. There wasn't much wind last night. There had been the prior evening. So maybe things were starting to set up a little bit over the metro area in the way of a bit of a thermal condition, just a thermal envelope. I don't want to call it a duct. Call it an envelope. And that's possible, but boy, at 50 megahertz, that is a bit of a stretch. I'll grant you there. Anybody else have any comments? I have one question related to this. Was anybody more than 40 miles apart who noticed a difference?
This is WE2R. I don't think so. I think the farthest away was, well, no, I have to say I don't think so.
Are we talking about max 20, maybe 30 miles at the most among the stations?
Yeah, I would say 20 from here to Brooklyn or from here to Staten Island, something like that.
Well, yeah, and I'm thinking that, you know, warming effects of these last couple of days and such like that, the quick cool at night, you know, the heat of the city kind of starting to stack up after the wind subsided the night before last, so that's kind of where my brain's at. I'm kind of wrapping my brains around it kind of that way, but boy, I'm still not convinced. I will tell you that. I mean, I think I have to learn more before I committed to that. But anyway, so good thought. All righty, Charlie, do you have any more on this?
No, I don't. It was just a somewhat idle curiosity. I hope it continues. And that's about it. This is WE2R.
Very good. Are there any other check-ins for the net this time? Please call K2 Bravo Alpha Romeo. Alrighty, our next question comes from KA2FBL. Mr. Mike, over to you, K2BAR.
Thank you, Gordon. KA2FBL. It's kind of a simple question. I have an old gateway computer that really the only reason I have it running is because it's the only computer that I have that has a serial port and I could use it for programming my Jetstream 220. So I leave it turned on, and I also ended up putting a card in there that I had my security cameras on. Suddenly out of nowhere, it went off. I opened it up, and I kept turning it on, and it would go on, shut back down. I hit the transformer. Let me drop it 1 second. I hit the transformer test button, and the light went on, the fan went on for the heat sink of the chip, then it shut back off again. Many times over and over, same thing. Push the button in the front, same thing. Couldn't figure it out. Packed it up, put it on the side, did some stuff on the other computer, and pulled out that card, threw it into the other computer. It's just sitting there out of nowhere, and it went back on again. Is it possible that that transformer is on the way out?
Maybe, actually. That's a little disturbing. It just turned on by itself?
Yeah, well, you know, strangely enough, it turned itself back on. Suddenly, out of nowhere, I look on the screen, and here's my nice, bright red screen. and I'm saying, hey, wait a minute. I don't know what the heck's going on here. One of the things that was done, though, was I took that card out that I had four cameras connected to. So I was kind of thinking that maybe it was just drawing way too much for this computer.
Well, that could be. That could be. And maybe it overheated and it reset. So what does this card that you removed do that sucks so much current?
Well, I have four security cameras, in fact. One of them I have in the ham shack up on top when you first walk in. And on the other wall, across from when you first walk in, is all my equipment. What I do is I keep that computer running. I keep the monitor off. If anyone walks into my shack and starts taking things, you know, let's say I'm getting robbed, that's the last computer they're going to go to. They're going to go for the laptop. They're going to go for the radios, you know, whatever. I've got it on film, you know, or should I say on hard drive. And it actually records to an external hard drive to make sure on it's hidden somewhere off. It's also a night vision camera, just in case all the lights are out. But while that's been running for months without a problem, and suddenly out of nowhere, you know, I just had this feeling that the transformer's going from it.
Well, either the transformer's going or the card just sucks too much current with everything else in it. Is there anything else you can strip out of that machine that you don't need or turn off functionality so that you provide a lower load to the power supply?
No, actually, this is the machine I pretty much have stripped down. I got a 40 gig hard drive in it. I have a USB board, a mouse, and the Jetstream programming cable, which is, you know, not hooked up to the radio. It's just sitting there on the serial port. Other than that, that card was in there, and that's it. But like I said, the card's been in there, and this has been running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for at least 2 months without a problem. Suddenly, out of nowhere, it, you know, just acted up.
Yeah, well, look, it's possible that it's on its way out. That's very, very possible. So, you know, I would be thoughtful of that. The other thing to think about is that maybe, you know, it's just an older machine and you've been just fortunate to be able to run it at the margins for a long time and it's just basically shutting down to protect itself. That just may be that simple. Anybody else have any thoughts?
It's 2JK.
Go ahead, Don.
I'm not a computer expert. He's running four cameras on this thing. I'm wondering if that, the load from them is, like you say, is pushing the limit, or is there something going into it in one of the cameras where it's pulling more load than it normally should? And I don't know you can swap, you know, disconnect the cameras for a while and see whether that's causing the problem, or you know, leave two cameras on and two cameras off, and then doesn't solve the problem, then take the two cameras on that you had, take those two cameras off, put the other two back on, or run it without cameras for some other reason, and that's part of your circuit bulb. And if it's just coming on and flipping back on, it sounds like a circuit breaker resetting itself. You can try that or whatever. Whatever it does to take the load off, I don't know how else you can do it. No, I don't know that much about the machine. Going back to that, W2JK.
Okay, very good. Any other comments from anybody else?
Hey, it's 2ID Ben. Basically, I repeat Jim's comments. You know, do it in a very orderly manner, you know. Plug all the loads back in again, see if it goes out. If it does, then take off one load at a time and see at which point it stops dropping out. And then when you've taken that camera off, that stops the drop out, remove all the other loads, and put that camera back on by itself and see if it still causes a problem. Or maybe if you pull all the cameras out, you have to pull the board out. And it just meticulously remove one load at a time, carefully keeping note of what happens when you do it, and you find which is the one that's overloading it, or you may find out it really doesn't make any difference which one you remove first. It's just a total of the four cameras, and the thing is running modularly. And that would give you the answers. KF2ID.
Okay, very good, Ben. Thank you. Anybody else? Alrighty, back to you. Any wrap up on the topic, Mr. Mike?
Well, what I appreciate the information. What I did do immediately is I took the board out and I put it into the other computer, which I didn't really want to do, but I have. My other computer has 7.5 terabytes, and I really want to just keep this separate, but I don't want to lose the ability to program my Jetstream. Believe it or not, that's the only reason why I'm keeping this gateway running, just so I don't have to manually program that radio. So far, right now, I'm defragging, and it hasn't come up with any major problems, so I'm hoping that it'll pass the muster, and then I'll turn it off and try turning it back on again a little later on and see if it works. But thank you. I think like you said, I'm skirting the ability that it was originally intended, and as it's gotten older, I mean, this was my son's. I don't know how many years ago, and I just pulled it out of my junk pile. So I'm going to hand it back to you, Gordon. Thank you very much for everybody's comments, and hopefully by the end I'll know if this defrag worked. KA2FBL.
Okay, Michael. Very good. Alrighty, let me now hand it off to Don for a quick report over our test sessions. We'll pass to the teacher.
Yeah, K2BAR and NFW2JEK, yeah, we had a good test session last Friday with the high school. Had 7 applicants. We came out with 3 generals, a tech, and an extra, so that was all good. And our next test session will be April 16th, which is Sunday, Friday evening. And I won't steal your thunder out, but Gordon is running a week the Friday before that, which is April 9th, I believe, he's running a one-day crash course for the deck license, followed by a test session at that time. So, that's what's on the agenda. Back to net, W2JK.
Okie doke. Very good. Most excellent. We're running the crash course is on April 9th, which is Friday, and we're going to be having a grand time with that, and then it's all day on Friday. We gather about 8:30. We do continental breakfast. We pound a bunch of questions into your head. We feed you lunch. We pound a bunch more questions into your head. We answer all your questions. We feed you dinner, and then Don and his merry band of testers come in and test you guys. And we have a pretty good success rate over the years. So please come. It's a technician level course. I've been asked to do a general again and also a extra for the first time, and we're not sure when we're going to do that. I also want to point out that there's a ham fest and pancake breakfast on Saturday, April 10th, the Saturday after Easter, here in Bergen Field at St. John the Evangelist, and I'll send out a flyer for that. To anyone who asks, my email is w2tangotangotango@awrl.net, and it is to benefit a bunch of adventurers and Boy Scouts who are going to be, if the funds allow, visiting Newington. We're going to take them up for a day visit on a work day so they can see the league in action, and also get to operate and visit the Memorial Station, which I've actually never done, despite the fact that I've probably been league headquarters probably 24 or more times. I've never had a chance to go venture over to the station, which is kind of amazing. So anyway, but we're going to be taking a bunch of scouts and venturers to that. Alrighty, what else? I think we have some more comments to be had. Let's see who's got a comment that's posted. Actually, before I do that, let me just see if there are any other check-ins. Any other check-ins to the net, with or without questions or comments, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Mr. Ben, your comments, sir. KF2ID, K2BAR.
Okay, well, first of all, this comment is really an apology of sorts. I was supposed to run the 440 net this evening, and I just got involved with something. Of course, I'm taking a trip out of the country, and it just time went by, and I missed it. So for that, I want anybody who wanted to join the net tonight, I offer my apologies. Also, I'm going to be out of the country next week, and so I won't be running the net. So if somebody would volunteer to pick it up next week, I'd appreciate it. With that, I'll turn it back to you. KF2ID with K2BAR.
All right, Ben, very good. So that'll be next week you need somebody to cover the net?
That is affirmative.
Okay. Yep. Is Passover next week too, by the way?
I didn't get that last question. What was it?
Is Passover next week as well as Easter?
Yes, it is. In fact, it starts, I believe, Monday night. In fact, I'm going to Israel to join my grandchildren for Passover. AF2ID with KWAR.
Oh, how beautiful is that? That's wonderful. Congratulations. That's really cool. Alrighty. Well, this is, I did note that I had thought so. I wasn't sure which night it starts, but I do know that the Orthodox Easter is also a week from Sunday. Eastern Rite, obviously, and the Western Rite, if you will, Catholic and Protestants are all celebrating Easter on the same Sunday this year. And usually when that happens, Passover is mysteriously in that same mix, either just before or just after. So that's marvelous. It's lovely that everybody's in a spiritual way, pretty much in a synchronized time frame. It's a good thing. It's also a good family time as well. So, alrighty, enough of my jibber-jabber. Let's see, who else do I have a comment? Mr. K2ZO, you had a comment, sir. K2BAR.
Okay. K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Just a comment on our discussion last week. We were talking about using the cigar lighter and it being limited for current. Let it drop here. ICOM has come up with a solution, if you will, and I just saw one. They sell a little box, not little, got a handle on it, and what you do is you put your ICOM 706 in there, and one of the fellows in town has one, and what this thing does is it's got a big capacitor inside of it that charges up over a period of time and allows you to run a 100 watt sideband transmitter on a cigar lighter plugged into a outlet that's like a 10 amp outlet, and the big old capacitor in there kind of smooths things out, And since it is the average that you've got to worry about, this thing takes care of it. I don't know if you've seen that. It's a box, believe it or not. It's a steel box with a handle on the top and connectors on the back for a VHF antenna and an HF antenna, and a cigar lighter plug on it, and a big mother of a 4-farad capacitor inside of it, plus a few other little things and switches and stuff. And that's how they do it. You take your 706, plug it in the socket and it's on in there, and hook it up, and off you go. And you got this carry-around box, much the same as your Go box, I guess, Gordon, except for it's a lot smaller. I wonder if you've seen one of those. Go ahead.
No, I haven't, but oddly enough, what would the... Well, I mean, could you not do that with something like a 18-ampere-hour or 12-ampere-hour battery as well?
Yep. He demonstrated it to me using a battery about that capacity and also running it off the cigar lighter in the car. This belongs to N2ATF, a gun. If you ever want to see it sometime, we'll get you over there. But anyway, it's a pretty neat gadget. I don't know what the model of it is, but it's made by ICOM. And apparently they're selling like hotcakes.
Well, that's a neat idea. I mean, I do that with a battery, but, you know, why not a 4-farad capacitor? Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've never seen one of them, honestly. I've never even heard that ICOM has it, which makes me think, now that you've told me who has it, makes me wonder whether or not he bought it on the Japanese domestic market.
I did not ask him that question. I probably should have. Yeah, it may have been available over there and not here. Who knows? But interesting. But the idea is pretty neat. And now you turn it on, and you have to wait a while for that capacitor to charge up. The little lights that come on and let you know what's going on. And I know you can buy capacitors like that. I see them on the Internet. And the CB-type folks that run amplifiers in their car use those things, too. Very interesting. Back to that.
What a surprise. Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, that's marvelous. That really is marvelous. Maybe we need to get a model number. I think that would probably be worthwhile. But, yeah, you can trickle charge a battery. And it doesn't have to be a terribly large battery, but just large enough. If you can get, say, 5 minutes of conversation, 100 watts out of the battery, then it's probably big enough to do the job. And, you know, if you just plug it in a cigarette lighter and then plug your radio into the battery, I think you'll be fine. What you may want to do is put a diode in there so that it doesn't, you know, become part of your starting circuitry. I know my vehicle runs hot, which is, meaning, on my user side, my rig runner, I often have 14.4 volts. And that's after the number 4 cable from the battery getting into the passenger compartment. And then after it goes through the rig runner, which, by the way, has a diode in it. And then the cabling from the rig runner to the batteries, I mean, to the radio. So, as I say, it would not surprise me if my, at the battery terminal, I have 15 volts coming off my alternator.
I didn't measure what this voltage kept this up to, but as you know, most of these radios don't operate down to very low voltage. He also showed it to me and demonstrated to me with that gadget that keeps your voltage up, whatever you call that thing. You know what I mean. It comes off the battery and keeps it up at 13.8. He had that on there, too.
Yeah, I have an 88 XJK boost regulator.
So he had the battery. Had that, then this box, and had all kinds of interesting things, different permutations and combinations that he was showing me. He's all ready for the next disaster.
Well, he's an interesting fellow, and I'm glad he's doing it. It's too bad he doesn't join us for the net, because, boy, Gunn is just a font of knowledge and just unusual operating conditions and environments and you know, a lot of fun. He's a very knowledgeable guy. Anyway, maybe you can tweak him a bit. Tell him we're talking about him. He needs to come and make sure that his name stays in good repair, his reputation as well. Anyway, anybody else have any comments on this one?
KF2ID. I'm just wondering, how do they maintain the voltage out of that battery? I mean, that capacitor. There's a couple of technical problems there. I just love to know how it was solved. Is there any article on it? One problem is, of course, that the capacitor voltage out of that capacitor will drop as the current directly proportional to the time to current. It's a linear discharge and the voltage drops. So I don't know how that works. And second of all, how do we get the current to make sure when there's a voltage starts to drop, the current is drawn from the battery in the car and below the fuse? There's a number of little interesting problems there, and there must be some fairly simple answers to them, but I sure would like to know what they are. KF2ID.
Think about average power in single sideband or CW, okay? That's how Tikawi's getting away with it. He would need something more substantial, like a battery instead of a capacitor. And that's also a very big capacitor. I mean, in the old days, they probably would people would be tough, you know, hard-pressed to get a battery with as much stored charge as that capacitor has. 4 farads is a big boy. Anyway, it's a good point, Ben, but I think it's just because it's just so, you know, so over the top in scale, that's why they get away with it. And the demand, as I say, is peaky. All right, anybody else with comments on this subject? Brady? Let's see. I have a little announcement. Someone has asked me to sell a TS-900 with the attached remote VFO and all the cabling and the speaker and the power supply and all that good stuff. So if anyone's interested in an old-style analog HF rig, but a digital display, by the way, it's a mechanical digital display. It's kind of neat to look at. But to every 5 kilohertz, I think it's every 5, it shows up digitally, digital mechanical. It's kind of neat. They're very smooth running dials, all the knobs turn, everything seems to be fine. If anyone's interested in it, let me know offline. And let's see, are there any other check-ins for the net? All righty, we have one more comment to request, and that would be from... none other than K20MI. Tony, how's your nephew doing? Or maybe Tony left already. Alrighty. Just a quick report on Noel. Noel, he is doing much better in the hospital. He is taking calls. If anyone emails me, I'll send you his phone in his room, although I think if worst case is you might have to call the main number, but they keep moving him around to different rooms, and that may change his telephone number. But if there's interest, please, he's well enough to take calls. He's had his hip replacement surgery. He's doing fine, according to Elizabeth, who also, by the way, is on the mend with her challenges as well. Any other questions, comments, confusions for the net, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, well, I want to thank everybody for checking in tonight. W2JEK, W2R, KF2ID, KC2PYB, KC2ORX, K2ZO, K2FBL, K2AMI, and S2K. It's been a fine net tonight, a little short, but not bad. Very, very quick and to the point. I didn't have to, you know, babble too much in order to keep people's attention. So I want to thank everybody. I want to thank also the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, just like we thank the Bergen County FM Association for the use of their repeaters for our various nets. And thank the grace of God for the propagation on 10 meters. for the Monday night net. 7-3 all, and have a good one, and good luck in the WPX contest this weekend. This is K2BAR for the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, turning it back to normal amateur radio use. This is W2TTT. 7-3. W2TTT, you're around, Mr. Mike.
KA2FBL. Gordon, I'm on the other frequency talking my friend in from work.
No worries. I'll hang here. If I'm not here when you call back, I'll be back eventually. W2TTT.
Okay, thank you. He's probably about halfway home now. I'll talk to you in a little bit. KA2FBL.
W2TTT.
W2TTT. KA2FBL.
Stand by, Mr. Mike.
Got ya.
K2FBL, W2TTT for a short one.
Hi, Gordon. K2FBL.
And I might be able to talk longer later, but the essence of what I wanted to get over to you is that I have two tower sections, a tapered top, I think takes either 1.5 inch or 1.75 inch masting, so that's pretty cool. And then I have another section that's shorter, that's a straight section underneath it, that has some interesting components to it. It's got like an outrigger thingy. I'll describe it to you later, but basically on each face someone added a welded out triangle that's, if you will, offset from the points of the tower, that basically allows you to put extra things horizontally on the tower. Outrigger type thingy. So we'll talk more about it later. In fact, I'll try to get you some pictures in future days, but we're going to grab a quick bite and then we'll be back. W2TTT.